Pastor.
No, thank you, guys. Man, how can God not do awesome things tonight? Amen? How many of you already feel like you're walking out of here like 10 times fuller? Like maybe a billionth times fuller, right? God is moving, and he's alive, and he's moving in his church. So I need to warn you a few things before I get started. First, I talk fast, okay? So if I talk too fast, someone just yell out, slow down, and I'll try to slow down. Also, I had a lot of coffee today, so we'll see how those things balance out. Second thing is I really like to move. So you just, everyone do this really quick. Do this, okay? Keep your head in that motion, and you'll be good, okay? If you stick there, you're good. I am Sierra, and I do have red glasses, in case you're wondering. I do have other pairs of glasses, too. So if you guys ever want to see those, come over to my house. We can have a life group, and that'll be good, okay? No, I love Jesus, and I love people, and I'm excited to get to share about both of those things tonight. Would you bow your heads with me today? God, we love you, Father. Jesus, you are beautiful. God, you are the beautiful one. Father, and tonight, Lord, we say, speak, God. Speak in a way only you know how. God, I pray for your people, Lord. I pray that we would hear what you are saying. I pray that we would yield our hearts to you, God. And that tonight you would mold our hearts, Jesus. You would make us leave this place looking more like you, Father. We would be a group of lay down lovers, Father, so in love with the King of Glory that we couldn't help but see our community touched by the power of Jesus. We praise you. I pray you speak through me. Heaven on earth tonight, in this room, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Tonight I want to continue talking about honor. How many of you have enjoyed so far our series on honor, right? Awesome. We've talked about how to walk in honor and confrontation, which is a little bit uncomfortable sometimes. It makes you feel like a little bit, walk on your tippy toes, right? I'm that way. I'm like, I would rather not, but sometimes it's needed. So it's good teaching. Amen? We talked last week, Pastor Zach shared an awesome message on honor in relationships and how even we pursue connection and we pursue each other and through honor and by honor, and that the body of Christ can't help but grow. Amen? Tonight I want to talk to you about honor and us being a vessels of honor in our community, okay? And if anybody, if I've had a chance to meet you, you probably know this is something that's near and dear to my heart, is sharing the gospel and sharing the love of Jesus Christ. So because of that, I'm going to warn you, I might like throw up on you a little bit. I might get a little excited, a little passionate. But I want to talk to us about being vessels of honor in our community, and especially through the lens of evangelism. Everyone say evangelism. I think when you hear that word, say it one more time, evangelism. When you hear that word, you might get a little bit, like, some people I feel like have different reactions. There are some people that get like a little, ooh, evangelism. I've seen those evangelists before. They stand on the corner with their big signs and yell at me, right? Some people think that. Some of you guys think, no, I can't do evangelism because I don't know how to go door to door and pass out a tract. Like, that's where some of our minds go, okay? Let's be honest. Anybody think that? Come on. It's okay if you thought that. Even my own sister, she admitted, okay? So it's okay if you raise your hand. We have, I think, maybe a little bit of skewed ideas of what evangelism is. That evangelism in the body of Christ is actually something that we get to embrace and something that we get to be a part of. And what I love about what was even spoken tonight during worship is that because we know our identity as children, because we know how much we are loved, true evangelism is actually just an overflow of your love relationship with Jesus Christ. True evangelism isn't me even always having to use words, but it's me being so passionate about the love of Jesus Christ in my life and so passionate about making every person I come in contact with know that they are loved and that they are valued. And when those two worlds collide, we can't help but share the gospel in everything we do. We can't help but be passionate about, have you met my Jesus? Have you met the God who heals? Have you met the God that knows where you're at and loves you the same, that knows where you've been and still calls you by name? Now I'm rhyming and rapping, so it's getting real in here tonight. It's getting real. What you guys don't know, okay? I'm a little bit of a grandma sometimes. Come on, let's give it up for the grandmas, okay? You're awesome. So either I might be 80 years old, like that's kind of the speed of life I like, or a little bit gangster, okay? Only my real friends know that, that I rap alone in the car, okay? So whenever I mix the word of God with that, I can't help but be like fresh, okay? Fresh. Mic drop at the end of the service. Just kidding. We're getting carried away up here. Okay, so evangelism. One more time, everyone say evangelism. It's not something to be scared of. It shouldn't be a taboo word in the church. But actually, the church was founded on the evangelism in its truest and purest form. That whenever people walk out in relationship with Jesus, others want to know about him. Others are hungry because they see something different in your life and they say, there is that thing missing in me. That's the thing that I've been striving for my whole life. That's the hole that I've been wanting to fill, that I've tried to fill with every other thing. But I see it and it's alive and it's whole in your life, and I want to know that God. I want to know that kind of love. I once heard it put best like this, that a husband and wife, right? Any husbands and wife in the house? Clap for them. That's awesome. Marriage is a good thing. We support that here at Victory Life Church. Healthy families, okay? So marriage is good. A husband and wife, if they're walking down the road, okay, how many of you know they might be holding hands? I said it, okay? They might be holding hands, walking. Even we might get crazy, a husband like lean over and kiss his wife on the cheek or something, okay? Whenever, I know, this is getting real in here. So whenever a husband or wife are out in public, it's evident that they love each other. It should be evident that they love each other. It should be that people say, oh, yeah, that they're married. Like, those are their kids. You can see all their fruit they've produced behind them. Yeah, they're married. That's it. They're married. Okay? And I think that true evangelism is the same thing with our relationship with God. That I am married. I am one with the Lord. That it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me, the hope of glory. So whenever I walk in Walmart, naturally, everyone who sees me should see Jesus, because he is my husband, he is my spouse, he is my father. And so whenever I'm walking, there should be little fruit leaving behind me, right? Like, there should be little offsprings of him in my life. Something that people say, oh, that's Jesus, that's Jesus, that's the Jesus that I haven't met before in the church. That's the Jesus that I haven't met before by religion, and I want to know that Jesus. Okay, that is what evangelism is. So everyone, one last time, say evangelism. Take a deep breath in, let it out, okay? I'm not preaching some crazy doctrine up here tonight. I'm preaching the word of God. Amen? I think to see the truest form of this, anything in life, we can always look at Jesus and the scriptures and his example he gives to us. So if you have your Bibles tonight, please turn to Matthew 14. Again, I told you guys I'm like an 80-year-old woman, so I'm like sticking to the script. I like that hard copy. You can smell it. You can underline in it. Anybody else in the house like that? Okay, good. Good. All the young folks. That's what I like to see, okay? Matthew 14. And this is a story you've probably heard before. This is a story that maybe you've heard in Sunday school, in Vacation Bible School. Maybe you watched it in a movie before. This is a very common story. But I want us to make the scriptures come alive tonight, okay? I don't want us to read this and think of the cartoon pictures or the little felt board pictures we have in our head. But I want to put ourselves in the real thing, in the real story of Jesus. Here we have Jesus, Matthew 14, starting in verse 13. It says, when Jesus heard this meaning John the Baptist, his cousin, his dearly awesome loved friend, passed away, okay? He was killed. He was murdered. It says, when Jesus heard this, he withdrew from there to a boat to a desolate place by himself. So Jesus was going to be alone with the Father, which he did often. We're going to get back to that. But when the crowds heard it, they followed him on foot from the towns. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion on them, and he healed their sick. Okay, here we have Jesus. How many of you know that everywhere Jesus, when he shared the gospel, right, he shared the good news of who he was, that he came to give life and give life abundantly. That's who he was. So first thing we have here is that he had compassion on them. And I think my sister actually once taught me this. But that word compassion, and I confirmed it, I looked it up, that word compassion actually translates to like a movement in the bowels. Okay, I'm not going to be talking about that tonight. But I think that there's something that we can think about this, that if your bowels are moving, you're going to have to respond, right? Like, you wouldn't be sitting here if your stomach's turned. Like, please, I give you all permission. Get out of here. Like, go take care of yourself, okay? So, it's fine. If you can laugh at yourself, life is no fun, okay? So, it's good. Just laugh, okay? So, but this is stirring that it's like, it's tangible, so much tangible that you have to do something. You have to respond. And it says, Jesus had compassion on them, and he healed them. So his response was first to show them compassion and to see them healed. We're going to keep reading, okay? We'll break this all down in just a bit. Now when it was evening, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a desolate place, and the day is now over. Send the crowds away to go into the village and buy food for themselves." But Jesus said, "They need not go away. You give them something to eat." They said to him, "We only have 5 loaves here and 2 fish. Again, these aren't fake fish and loaves. These are like real, like smelly fish that they're going to eat for lunch. Real tangible bread that might be hard and stale, okay? This is a real thing that really happened. And I love this, okay? So they're saying like, "Jesus, we don't have enough, man. We don't know how we're going to do this." And this is what he says. He says, "Bring them here to me." Okay, bring them here to me. Jesus, faced with an impossible situation, an impossible, like it doesn't even make sense that this would even be a thought. He said, "No, actually, bring them here to me. Let me embrace the impossible because I am moved with compassion. I have to do something. I have to do what the Father is saying because compassion is stirring in me and the impossible is the only solution. I have to say, bring them here to me because I can't let them leave without knowing who I am. I can't let them leave without feeding them, without letting them taste something that is so alive and so real." And we all know what happens, right? He ordered them to sit down on the grass, and taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up from heaven and said a blessing. Then he broke the loaves and gave to the disciples, and the disciples gave to the crowd. How many of you know God loves to do miracles? He loves to do the miraculous. But how many of you know he also loves to include us in those things? He could have taken this bread and he could have just passed it out. All day would have been there passing out. Or he could have just made it magically appear in their lap. Like, he can do anything. Okay, but he broke it, and then he gave it to the disciples. And he said, "You know, you guys who didn't know what was going to happen, actually, I'm going to give you this impossible thing, all this food that I'm multiplying. Now you go, and you pass it out. Because I want my body to be the one that shows my compassion. I want my bride to be the one that hands out food that is more real than anything they've ever tasted." And I think the same is true for us. That God, he loves, he'll put himself on display all day. He does that through creation. You can look at any mountain or any ocean and know that God is alive and real. But I think that there's just this special joy in his heart whenever he gets to move you with compassion and then let you see a miracle happen in someone's life. Whenever the body of Christ connects in such a way that I go to my sister, I go to my brother, and I get to be a part of the miracle that God wants to do. And that is compassion. That is evangelism, that we are moved with compassion, and then we give it out. We respond to what God is doing, and here he was feeding people, okay? And they all ate and were satisfied. God does, he always leaves us satisfied. There's always just this pleasant aroma of who God is in our lives. And they took up the 12 baskets full of broken pieces left over, and those who ate were all about 5,000 men besides the women and children. Okay, again, a very familiar story that you've heard before, that we've all heard before, but this idea of compassion. I think the first step in effectively being vessels of honor, the first step in reaching our community and reaching households in our community and reaching our schools and our place of businesses is that we have to first and foremost be moved, stirred with compassion. That without compassion, I can do nothing. And Pastor Duane even touched about this on Sunday. And I was thinking, I was sitting there, and I was like, man, like, Pastor, don't preach my message. Like, and then I was like, wait, I guess that's okay if he does that. Like, that's good. Like, go ahead, preach it. I was like, preach, boy. No, I didn't say that. Okay, I was thinking, preach whatever you want. But this confirming word tonight, the confirming word, that compassion is the first step in any miraculous thing that we want to see, that we have to be stirred and then respond. And just like Jesus says, bring them here to me, that we say, let's embrace the impossible. Let's embrace the things that man says cannot happen. Whenever man says, no, you are dying, we say, actually, I'm going to live. Whenever man says, no, your parents are divorcing, that's what's going to happen. You say, actually, their marriage is blessed. Whenever man says, no, you don't have the finances to provide for this month, God says, I am the one that is your provider. And that whenever we allow compassion to stir us, God always does the impossible. Amen. I think again, going back to how we let compassion happen in our life, is that we see the Jesus in other people. And that this is something I feel like God is always teaching me since I was a little girl, is not just knowing that I have something to give to people, but knowing that because they are created in the image of Christ, that every time I come up, even to the homeless person, even to the person that has nothing to offer, that when I go to them, that the image of Christ is on inside of them. So instead of thinking, okay, I need to be stirred with compassion so I can give, it's actually, God, let me experience who you are in your child. Let me be stirred in such a way that I see the image of Christ reflecting on side of them. And there's this mutual exchange that happens, that they see Christ, the hope of glory, inside of me. And I see Jesus inside of them, and I want to serve them. I want to love them. I want to see the miracle, because that is what our Father does. I've had some time to serve overseas, and I love the nation of India, and I love the people there, and just people who are hungry for truth. They're searching it in everything. But I was there earlier this year, and I was working in a children's home, and I learned that moms are awesome. Amen. It's not quite Mother's Day, but let's go ahead. Moms are awesome, okay? Praise the Lord, I'm not a mom, so I get to sleep occasionally, right? So I'm in this children's home, and these 8 awesome, incredible little miracles who've had lives that I couldn't even imagine to even begin to put into words. They've seen horrific things. And I got the opportunity to live with these kids and to take care of them, and they were calling me mom by the end of my time there. But again, I learned this side of, like, man, it is not easy being a parent. Like, praise God, I'm never going to have kids. Like, I don't think I can do this. Like, I thought, like, childbearing was bad. Like, taking care of them when you're tired is like, oh, my God, Jesus. I think I did that one. I just fell on the bed. Jesus, I need you, God. Like it's not like the food. It's not like, you know, any kind of persecution. But it's like, Jesus, I can't take care of these kids. Like, I'm tired. Like, I'm spitting. Okay, anyways, this is a true story. So one night, all the little kids, all the 4 boys, 5, 6 years old and under, okay? And they love to, like, hee-hee-hee all night. Hee, Sierra, dee-dee, hee-hee. I'm like, no, go to bed. Sleep, child, sleep. And they're like, ha-ha, it's not time for bed. I'm like, it was an hour ago, okay? So I'm like there. Finally get all these kids tucked in, like, bug nets secured around them, blankets tucked in, okay? And I, like, go. I was like, crash. I'm like, okay, God, bless him, amen. Hallelujah, okay? And I, like, finally, I take off my glasses. I'm, like, in bed. And I'm like, I know they're going to be up in 5 hours. So, like, Jesus, let us sleep good. And then about maybe an hour later, I heard this. Sierra Dee Dee. I'm like, huh? What's happening? Sierra Dee Dee. That's, like, Dee Dee's, like, an anti-endearing term. And it's this little boy named Rashid. Now, Rashid is the sweetest boy in the world. He's a little bit mentally behind, and every day he sits at the gate and watches cars pass. He loves the cars, okay? And I'm sitting there, and he's like, Sierra Dee Dee, I need some water. No, you don't. Drink your spit, Rashid, like you're fine, boy. I didn't say that. That was my flesh, okay? That was my flesh. I didn't say that. Don't worry. You guys are like, how, why, who gave her this mic? I'm like, I don't know. Praise God. Okay. Just kidding. Okay, calm down. So I'm like, yes, like, Rashid, like, yeah, what do you need? He's like, water, water. I'm like, okay. I'm like, yeah, yeah, okay, water. Praise God. So I like crawl out of bed, like find my glasses. I like go to the water filter and I'm like, oh, Rasheed, like, why do you need water right now? This is not the time. I'm like getting my hand wet in the process. And I'm like taking this water back and becoming a little bit more coherent, okay? And I get back and as I'm walking, like, God just speaks such a word to my heart. And he brings back Matthew 25. And he says, whatever you do unto the least of these, you do unto me. Whenever I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. And in that moment, I'm like, oh my, like, Rasheed, like, Jesus, like, water. Like, Jesus is, like, I'm giving this to Jesus. And I'm like walking, I'm like, Rasheed, like, drink, like, oh my. He's like this, I'm like, most precious child, like, drink the water. Like, okay, guys, I was a little sleep deprived, but it was just beautiful. After I woke up the next morning, it was just such a beautiful, like, if I really saw the Jesus in every person I met, if I knew that every time I was moved with compassion and I served the person in front of me, if I stopped for that mom at Walmart that's trying to take care of all of her kids who don't have shoes on, and I stopped and I said, how can I help you? How can I serve you? That is the truest form of evangelism. That is the truest form of us being the body of Christ. That we stop and we say, man, God, stir me with compassion in such a way that I see the you in front of every person. That I see the you, even in the people that don't deserve it, even in my enemies, may I love them and be stirred with compassion. So the first way we establish honor in our community is we are a people moved with compassion. But the second thing, and I think is just as important, is that we walk life consistently. And I can have a moment of compassion. I could have gave Rasheed that water and then treated him like nothing the rest of my time there. But because I saw Christ inside of him, every day then I was intentional. Even when I'm tired, even when I don't want to, I'm going to serve him like Jesus. And I'm going to be consistent in showing that compassion. This word compassion, I looked it up and it's mentioned like 12 other times in the New Testament. And every time it's Jesus or a parable about Jesus talking about seeing the person in front of him and them being healed, them knowing love. You know, the prodigal son, the father was moved with compassion and he ran after him. Or the good Samaritan, that the final guy came and he was moved with compassion and he stopped and he helped the man. And that Jesus' character is consistently compassionate. That Jesus always, he is love. He can't help but be love. And even later on in this same chapter, a few chapters over, we see Jesus feeding the 4,000. And so he's physically consistent. And that part of us being honored in our community is we're physically consistent to show up. Whenever, even this is simple, but whenever we say we're going to be somewhere, we're there. Because that's Christ's character. That's who he is. He's compassionate and he's punctual. Everyone say, Jesus is punctual. Okay, you didn't think you were going to hear that at church tonight. He does what he says he'll do. He says, I'm going to come back for you one day. And you know what? He's going to be on time. And he's going to be here when he needs to be here. So I think, yes, obviously, compassion is being physically consistent. But I think the most important thing is that our character is consistent. And that I never want to say one thing and live another. I never want to stand up here or be in my home or be somewhere and you see a different person than you would see any other time. And I think that is how we love our communities. That is how we serve. That is how people get to encounter God. Because their whole life, they've seen people say, yeah, I love God. And they're the same people that are quick to talk bad about their parents or quick to talk bad about their boss or their employee. Yeah, I love God. But then they're the same people that go out and do all kinds of crazy things. And I don't mean that we have to be perfect because God says, come to me as you are. But I think part of maturing in Christ and part of us getting to share the gospel with the people around us is that we are consistent to do the things we say we're going to do. And we're consistent to be people of faith. That I'm not going to pray one time and think one thing that God can heal. And then whenever an impossible situation happens in my own life, I'm going to say, oh, no, that was just for, my fellow friends. Like, God is consistent always. One miracle to the next, he is consistent. And so we as the people of God get to be consistent. And that is how our community comes to know Jesus. I did something I've never done before today. But before I came to church tonight, I just drove around. I'm not that, this sounds like I've prayed before, okay? But I drove around like to the farthest corners of Durant. And I just prayed. And I just began to look at houses and look at cars and look at people walking and riding their bikes. And I just began saying, God, like, you release your love. Like, you release your power. God, you release your compassion. Send people to touch your body. And then I thought, like, man, that's us. Like, we get to be the people that are consistent in our community to show up whenever the elderly woman has a need and she needs help. We get to be the people that whenever someone needs prayer, they know that the Jesus people is the people they go to. You know what? This is even cool. We get to be consistent to help other churches in our community and to reach out to other pastors. That despite what anyone thinks of us, what anyone says, that we are going to be a people that are consistently full of faith. Consistently full of love, consistently moved with compassion. And I guarantee that if you live your life that way, that you will see God do the miraculous. That's an overflow of love, is healing and power and revelation and signs and wonders. Like, that's what he promises if you would share his gospel. And not always with words, not always with a track or a big giant sign, but in the way you live your life. And I can say over and over again, I've seen God be faithful to use me. And what I love every time is that whenever I just share him, in whatever way that is, that I always walk away more blessed. I always walk away with a greater picture of who Jesus is. And to the point that it becomes addicting. Like, I got to share Jesus today because I want to know who he is. And I got to go call out Jesus in this person's life because I'm going to know who he is in my life. And I think that that's what we get to do. Church, that's who we are, is that we are the bride of Christ on display. And so we have compassion, and we have consistency. And as I was praying, I was like, God, you know, what stops us? Like, why don't those things always mesh? Like, where is this line of inconsistency and not compassion? And I felt like, because I've seen it in my own life, like, I haven't always allowed compassion to motivate me, and I haven't always been consistent. I've tried, but no one's perfect in that. And so I said, God, what stops that? And I didn't feel like it was just like straight out hate. Like, I'm not moved with compassion because I hate my community. Like, that's not it at all. Like, praise God. Hopefully no one in here has that heart. Or it's not like I'm like, you know, I'm just so lazy. Like, I don't want to be consistent because, like, man, I just want to sit on my couch all day. Or, like, I don't want people to know that I'm going to show up whenever. I just show up whenever I want to show up. Like, it doesn't matter. I'm in charge here. Like that's probably not your attitude either. But there's something that is stopping us from these two worlds meshing and colliding, where we are people of consistency and compassion. And the Lord reminded me of something he had showed me a couple years ago. But on one of my trips, when I was in India, I saw this woman. She was laying on the side of the street, and she was probably in her 50s. She looked about 80. And she had these wounds and these sores festering all over her body. And she was laying on this little corner, and she was being eaten by the flies. Okay, these flies were eating her. And in that moment, because I later found out that this woman had leprosy. And so what leprosy is this disease where you stop feeling, and so people actually inflict pain on themselves. So she couldn't feel that these flies were on her, so they were eating her. Or she couldn't feel that, you know, she scraped her finger, so her finger was missing. And I heard the Lord say, Sierra, may my church never look like that. May we never numb our hearts to the place that we are actually defeating ourselves. May we never become so numb, allowing this disease of numb to take over, that we are actually the one stopping ourselves, that we're being eaten alive and we don't even know it. And I think the thing that can stop compassion and consistency in our life is this disease I like to call numbness, right? This disease that just says, it's not worth it, or I've been hurt too many times, or I can't open my heart up again, because if I do, I know I'm going to get let down, because everyone in life has let me down before. Or I can't look at the person on the street corner asking for money because I don't know how to fix them. I don't know how to help them. I can't give them a home and I can't give them a job. But how many of you know that sometimes those people just need you to look them in the eye and acknowledge them, right? That because we turn our eye, because we're intentional to, I'm not going to take that turn out of Walmart, I'm going to take the other one, that we're actually hardening our heart every time. And we're allowing this numbness to stop us from being moved with compassion and being moved with the love of God. And how many of you have ever had a body part numb before? Anyone? Everyone should raise your hands, okay? Everyone, raise your hands. Come on. It's like a little praise break. Raise your hands, okay? Like we've all had that numb feeling. But how many of you know that like the unnumbing is like, oh, like I think I would rather just stay numb than like try to get my foot awake. It's like one of those like limping, like falling, like just crawling. I think I've done that before, like crawl in my bedroom, like just make it to the bed, like shaking. It hurts, okay? Whenever you want to wake up from numbness, it hurts. And I think sometimes we let this fear of the pain, this potential to be hurt, wake us up from the things that we've allowed to numb our soul. And to wake us up from being moved with compassion, we said, you know what, it's going to hurt too much. I can't even start the process. I would rather just sit and be numb than try to wake something up inside of me. But I think to see the move of God you desire to see in your life, I know to see God use you to transform a city, to see God use you to transform that person in your life that you've been praying for them to know Jesus, to transform a nation, I just believe God can even transform the nations, all of them, that it takes us saying, wake up. God's saying, wake up, church. Wake up. And that's kind of hard. Man, I'm like, no, God, like, oh, we're awake. We're awake. But I'm thinking, man, if we are really going to be a people that go out and see every street in our city touched, every family live above the poverty line, every home have a healthy marriage, every child whole, that it's going to take the church waking up and saying, we're going to be the ones that are consistent. We're going to be the ones that are compassionate. And just like Jesus breaking the bread and giving it to the disciples, he said, I'm ready. I have the bread prepared. It's broken. I'm giving it out to you. It's in your hands. Now, what are you going to do with it? Are you going to sit there and are you going to eat it for yourself? Are you going to sit there and say, oh, there's only half of a piece. If I give it away, there's not going to be any more. Are you going to say the same God that multiplied it the first time can multiply it again, and I'm going to give it out knowing that he's going to give it back better and bigger? I'm going to give away my time. Maybe God's calling you to do something crazy, to sell something to be able to give away some finances that you've wanted to. Maybe God's calling you to move your family to a certain part of town. I don't know. And it's not always that extreme. Sometimes it's helping the woman in Walmart. I've had the greatest testimonies at Walmart. Man, you want a mission field, you go to Walmart, you buy groceries. And I know some of you avoid that place. I'm like, how can we avoid it? We get to go in there, we get to buy our milk, we get to see people healed all in the same place. I don't even like milk that much, but it's awesome, okay? God's moving. Amen? Everyone still okay? Anybody want to kick me out of here yet? Praise God. That's the only goal. You know, I'd like to have a job tomorrow. But if not, it's okay. You know, it's okay. Anyways, compassion, consistency, waking up from this numbness. Last thing, I'm going to close with this. How do we wake up from this numbness? Okay, Sierra, what you're saying is like resonating in my spirit. Like it's side note, okay? Sometimes, try this sometime. Practice a whole day without using any Christianese words, and then like go out into the world and like they're gonna be like, whoa, like I understand you. Like sometimes they're like, brother, you need to be washed with the blood of Jesus. And he's like, please don't wash me with any blood. Like put that blood away. Sometimes we gotta change our vocabulary a bit. Doesn't mean we change who we are. We gotta change our vocabulary a little bit to make sure people understand Jesus. Not that we change him, not that we become relevant to our culture or fit in or any of that, but we gotta make sure Jesus says, Paul said, I became all things to all men so that by some means I may save some. Like, to the Jew, I become a Jew. To the Greek, a Greek. To those under the law, I don't put myself outside of the law. but I'm going to love them right where they're at. Okay? Sometimes, side note, you got to change your vocabulary a bit. Anyways, going back to that, really resonated in my spirit. Like, Sierra, what you're saying. That was pretty cool. You guys didn't think I could go back and forth. So, okay. Anyways, like, yes, resonating in your spirit. How do I do that? How do we see a city transformed through honor, through this compassion and this consistency, shaking up this numbness? And what I love, it goes back to what God said at the beginning of service during worship, and that is, it starts in the secret place. I can say that true evangelism is only formed out of prayer. That until you're willing to intercede for the nations, like, probably don't expect to be used in them. Like, until you're willing to pray for your city, or pray for the mom next door, or pray for the dad, like, if I'm not willing to invest my time in prayer, like, God's going to move and he's going to use me, but not to the degree if I was first rooted and grounded in intercessory prayer. And I had such kingdom mindset, kingdom perspective on my city. I was so led by the Spirit that whenever I went, because I've already been praying, I've already been seeking out, that it's so natural. God just shows me, oh, yeah, that's the person you're supposed to talk to. Or, oh, yeah, that's the family you're supposed to give that money to. Or, oh, yeah, that's the person you're supposed to invite to church. That whenever we've been praying for our city, whenever we've been praying for our families, whenever we've been praying and really saying, God, would you move? And not because we have to beg God, because God is ready. But I think, had the disciples not said, like, what are we supposed to do? Like, you know, no, just send them away. And they just walked away, like, yep, that's it. You send them away, we're out of here. But they stayed to listen to what he was saying. Like, this is what we know is true, that there's not enough bread. But Jesus, you always have different plans. So let me first hear from you. Let me be intimate with the Lord. Let me have that time in the secret place when no one else sees, when no one else hears, when no one knows my praying and my interceding and my weeping for this city. So that whenever I'm in front of people, again, it's just so natural. And that love is just an overflow of what he's already doing. Amen? Amen. Last story I want to share with you. I think this is my second last, maybe. We'll see. Last story. First person I ever got to lead to the Lord. I'll never forget it. I was 12 years old. I was in Tyler, Texas. I was sitting at a park bench with a little boy named Abel. Everyone say Abel. It's a good name, right? It's a good name. He was a little Hispanic boy, and he was there for like a summer feeding program, didn't have any food. And for the summer, and so I gave him a sandwich, and he's probably 9 years old, 10 years old, so like my same age, I felt like I'm an old woman, I'm 12, like, excuse me, Abel. No, but I remember looking at him and like feeling like, man, like I have to give him something more than just a sandwich, like a sandwich, right? I have to give him something more than just like a piece of bread and like hope for a day. Like, I want to teach him how to fish, not just give him some fish, right? However that saying goes. I was trying to be like proverbical, if that's a word, but it didn't work. Anyways, I want to give him something more than just a sandwich. And I remember in my best 12-year-old vocabulary, I was probably like, can I tell you about my Jesus? And I shared with Jesus. I shared the only Jesus I knew. I shared God's love for me, that he was my father, the perfect father that loved me more than any person on earth could ever. And I shared that with Abel, and I saw it change his face. I saw the love of God transform his face. And he said, I want to pray. I want to believe. Excuse me. And I prayed for Abel, and he received the Lord in that moment. And it was a little awkward. It was a little uncomfortable. I didn't have all the right words. But I walked away feeling the most alive that I had ever. And I walked away saying, man, this is what I was created for. This is better than any teenage thing could ever happen. This is better than any car. This is better than any movie. This is better than any family vacation. Like, I was created to share the gospel. I was created to make Jesus known. And I walked away knowing how much of a daughter I was, more than before. And it launched me on this journey of, like, still, I'm like, God, like, whoever, just show me. Like, I want to share them with you and you with them and let them know their identity and their daughters. And it's so simple. Just let them come to me like a child, like little Abel. And I could tell you countless stories, not because of anything I've done, but because I was moved with compassion. Because I tried to walk in consistency of character. And then because I spoke what the Lord was saying. And I showed him what the Lord was doing. And I think that's his word for us. That we're shifting. We're transitioning, that we've been getting all this good food in our bellies, all this good word. We've been eating the bread with Jesus. But now he's saying, church, I'm giving it to you to hand out now. It's time for you to go where few are willing to go. It's time for you to take it to the streets. I wanted to entitle this message, it's like moving day, because we're moving in. Like, get the haul, U-Haul truck, because the kingdom of God is like in Durant, Oklahoma. Amen? Yeah, I said that. Don't move. Stay at your house, okay? That was metaphorically. This is what I want you to do. I want you to close your eyes in this place. And I just want you, to reflect on Jesus, who he is to you, his perfect eyes of love looking at you. With no condemnation, perfect love. We can only love whenever we've known how much we are loved. That Jesus knew what the Father was saying. He only did what the Father was doing. And I want to, before we leave this place tonight, I don't want anyone to leave church without knowing Jesus. If you're here today, in this place tonight, and you said, man, this Jesus sounds too good to be true. I've never heard of this Jesus in any church I've ever been to. I want to walk in relationship with him. If that's you, would you just raise your hands in this place?